Radiotopia.
Welcome to the Kitchen Sisters present.
From PRX.
We're the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson
and Nikki Silva.
Hi, I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life in prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. The Kitchen Sisters Present is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to Fugitive Waves, lost recordings and shards of sound, along with new tales of remarkable people from around the world. We're the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva.
Today on Fugitive Waves, we go to the plazas of Lisbon, Portugal, where small kiosks once served food and drink, and where people gathered to gossip, to talk politics, spend time with their friends. In the 19th and early 20th centuries, these kiosks were the heart of public life in the city. But under the long dictatorship of Antonio Salazar, from 1932 to 1968, laws actually discouraged public gathering and conversation. Many restaurants closed, and the kiosks fell into disrepair and all but disappeared. Today, Hidden Kitchens, the kiosk strategy.
In the beginning, it was called the Elegant. It was the official name. But people start calling the kiosk the Boya, like you have in the boats, to float, a buoy, because it was always open and people were around and the kiosk could save them with a drink.
Lisbon can be quite hot in the summer. The kiosk would offer this refreshment when people would go around town.
This kiosk has been here forever, nearly 100 years old, part of a trend of creating this Art Nouveau, sometimes Byzantine kiosks as an elegant place to go for drinks and snacks. This kiosk is bright pink, half wood, half stone, 6 sides, hexagonal, and it has this sort of Moorish influenced design. My name is João Regal. I'm an architect, and Catarina Portas, my partner, and I run Kiosk de Refresco.
The main reason I started the kiosk is because I walk a lot around the city. And so I was seeing in front of me, in the middle of the street, in gardens, in squares, these sad, closed structures. From the 19th to the 20th century, there were like 100 different kiosks in Lisbon. The city was full of them. The idea was brought from Paris. They were all different from each other. I start to think, how could we bring this to our times? My name is Catarina Portas. We have 4 kiosks. And I also have a Vida Portuguesa, some shops that sell traditional products from old Portuguese companies.
My name is Miguel Machadinho, 26 years old. I work in the kiosk in the night shift from 5 to 2 a.m. That woman that is sitting there, you can see that she's a tourist. Then we have a famous Portuguese actress. Then you have the guy with the dreadlocks. The old people that you are seeing here in the tables, they are the locals. All of them, they live here, come here every day. Sometimes people are even ashamed, but they just have money for one coffee. I know a lot of people, they are passing a hard time because of the crisis. Yeah. It scares me a little bit. A lot of friends of mine, they are already going to other countries because even our prime minister is asking us to go away.
Portugal is one of the poor countries on the edge of Europe, on the margins. The salaries there have been about a third of what the European Union averages. This was before the fiscal crisis. I'm Tim Sieber, professor of anthropology at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. I research life in cities. Lisbon has a strong culture of public places, third places you might call them, cafes, restaurants, beautiful plazas and belvederes, miradouros, places where you go and sit just so you can look out and see the beautiful city.
Just like Paris, we were a city of cafes. Kiosks played a very important role in the street life of Lisbon. My name is Marina Tavares.
Yes.
I write books about the history of Lisbon. In the beginning of the 20th century, kiosks had a bit of everything. Newspapers, lottery, food, drinks. You always meet somebody you know because you are in the center, outdoors.
Casa Portuguesa.
In the 1920s, Antonio Salazar came into power for almost half a century. He introduced a right-wing dictatorial regime, the Estado Novo. He didn't like intellectual debate, public gatherings, organizing, cafe culture. These were things that Salazar thought undermined what it was to be really Portuguese.
My name is Ellen Sapiga, professor of Portuguese at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. In the 1980s, Portugal joins the European Union. People wanted to get rid of the stuffiness of the Estado Novo and to embrace a new, more modern idea of Portugal. The European money is coming in, the easy credit. And that's the time when global brands and fast food restaurants enter into Portugal. There were urban renewal projects to sort of clean up the downtown areas. The kiosk would not fit into certain strategies of modernization.
Gradually, the old kiosks just shut down. They become dirty places and not so proper. They were not elegant anymore.
O silêncio da guitarra, que a minha alma se agarra.
There was this contest from the city council asking for proposals to reopen the kiosk.
We went to the city council with amazing photographs of the old kiosks and we prepared all the old drinks and made them taste the drinks.
That convinced them.
Our parents and grandparents used to drink these natural drinks, handmade, and you can't find them anymore. Why is that?
We started to try all these recipes.
Some of the recipes are 1 to 100 years old.
Bica, vinho do Porto.
Perfumed milk with cinnamon and lemon. An infusion made out of maiden leaves with orange blossom.
Horchata.
Horchata made out of almond.
Ginginha com elas.
It's called ginginha.
It's a liquor with ginger. You drink it in very, very small glasses. The person who is serving that always asks, com elas ou sem elas? With her or without her? With her is with the cherry in the glass.
My name is José Sá Fernandes. Lisbon City Councillor of Environment. The kiosk strategy is the way people begin to use the squares and the gardens nobody used. The idea is to put some small kiosks to serve the frescos. More people in the places, more secure are the places.
In the neighborhood where I live in Lisbon, a kiosk opened about 4 years ago. This was a neighborhood that probably never would have had a kiosk before. There's a garden, but it was in a state of neglect. The day they opened, it was a hot day in the beginning of the summer. And all of a sudden, the lights came on and you could see everybody from the neighborhood drawn into the garden. The kiosk immediately became the gathering place.
The kiosk, it connects a lot of generations in the same spot. I see a lot of old people here and they lived in Salazar's season. They felt like people should go away and guys with earrings are idiots. And because of the kiosk, they are starting to accept more the others.
And now we're heading to Praça das Flores, Flower Square in central Lisbon. It's a quiet little square where all the old ladies go. They leave notes for each other on the kiosk. They leave the keys. They feel it's theirs. the kiosk strategy.
Before journalist and author Katarina Portas launched her efforts to restore the kiosks, she opened a shop in the Chiado neighborhood of Lisbon. It's a beautiful shop, featuring old Portuguese brands and goods of all kinds.
Katarina was looking for the perfect spot for ages before she actually found this pearl. This was once the warehouse and the lab for some beauty products. And up on the top shelves, you can still see some jars of powder up there.
Like blushing powder.
Exactly. And it's been here since the beginning of last century. I'm Manuela Costa, and you're at A Vida Portuguesa in Lisbon, Chiado. A Vida Portuguesa means the Portuguese life. It actually started as A Casa Portuguesa. That's an old fado song by Amália Rodrigues, our best-loved fado singer of all time. She describes walking into a Portuguese home. Pão e vinho sobre a mesa, bread and wine by the table. Every Portuguese home, they will want to feed you.
I come here sometimes, just to have a look. You see, when I was young, I used to have some soaps like that, and my father used that aftershave. This has old things that's made only by Portugal. And now they are out of the market, but they found them and they put them here so we can just to remember the old times and come and see.
Did you see the filigrane over there? It's very difficult to make.
This is where we have all the beautiful tins of sardines and tuna, the very best from all over Portugal, still wrapped by hand. Sardinhas com alho, sardines with garlic, sardines in olive oil, sardines with pickles, and more sardines. We're such a sardine-driven people. We're crazy about them. Every year in June, we still celebrate Saint Antonio, the patron of Lisbon, and we grill the sardines. The Italians claim he was born in Padua, but we're stubborn and we stick to the fact that he was really born in Lisbon.
What is all this?
This is to boil the fish. That is the one is to toast the bread.
You just put that on top of the flame.
Very good.
These produce the best toasts ever. Trust me. This is Metal Cleaner, one of the first products that got her starting to think about this project, A Vida Portuguesa. Katarina was working as a journalist, doing research on lighthouses. She would find this metal cleaner all over the place. She wondered, so why do you use this? Well, because it's the best in the world cleaning the sensitive metal of the lighthouse. This brand was actually created by a German that used to live up in the north of Portugal. He decided to go for the logo, a heart with an arrow going through it, to describe the Portuguese character and soul. Generous warmth, but also with a sense of sorrow and sadness.
When you started with this, these companies, how much were they producing, or were they?
Some of them were actually struggling to survive. We were such a closed market for so many years under Salazar's dictatorship, and so we had to supply for ourselves. This, on the good side, was very stimulating for the brands because they were always coming up with new products, new packaging. But then when the market opened up to other markets, people wanted what was new, more exciting, and they stopped buying these old-style Portuguese products. We have a wonderful brand of soap. They used to do soaps for every possible occasion. Katarina got to check the archives of this factory, and it was such a wealth of story and possibilities they had to bring them back to life. This soap was to celebrate the Carnation Revolution. It's one of my favorites. It marked the end of the dictatorship. We were going to start this new country in freedom, and we were going to build it ourselves. All the military came to the street, but they decided it was going to be a peaceful revolution. They didn't want any bloodshed. One military guy bumped into a lady selling carnations. In the end, guns were turned into vases holding carnations, and we still call it the Carnation Revolution. The important thing was always to tell the story behind things.
Those are for cookies and cakes. This is for to catch on the tree. The figs, the pears, the apples, whatever you like.
We call this the fruit burglar. When you go out into the countryside and you find a tree, it's a cone with a sharp edge.
You put along the stick, and on the top of the tree, when you have an apple that's too far, you go with that and it cuts, the apple falls in there. They say that a thief, a ladra.
As a country, it's been quite difficult, and we see people struggling every day, getting more and more into poverty. But there are lots of companies out there that are also thinking of ways of using this as an opportunity to go back to basics and to use wonderful Portuguese products.
Kiosk Strategy was produced by the Kitchen Sisters in collaboration with Nathan Dalton and Brandy Howell, part of Hidden Kitchens, War and Peace and Food, mixed by Jim McKee. Special thanks to the National Endowment for the Humanities and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art works.
You can follow us on Twitter at Kitchen Sisters or share your photos on Instagram.
Fugitive Waves is part of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated network of extraordinary podcasts created by independent producers in collaboration with you.
Radiotopia is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Thanks to AdCirc for providing their ad-serving platform to Radiotopia. If you'd like to become a sponsor of Fugitive Waves or other shows like it, email sponsor@prx.org.
You're listening to Fugitive Waves, stories from the flip side of history.
Radiotopia. From PRX.